Hey, this time you're going to know the scoop about Ryan Seaton. Hey, Ryan, how you doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're doing great. I want to talk to you a little bit. By the way, going to get out of the way right away. Congratulations. 2 Dove nominations.
Thank you. Yeah, I almost passed out.
We don't want that. I do have a favor to ask of you.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah, go ahead.
You win either one of those. You let me hold the Dove Award just for a little while.
Oh, sure. I'm gonna pass it around to my friends and just let them take pictures with it and stuff.
Or get a big chain and just wear it around your neck.
Absolutely. I'll be the Flavor Flav of gospel music.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. See, you know this. Hey, you must be about my age because that was exactly what I was thinking. So that's scary. Tell everybody though what the 2 nominations are. Which categories you were nominated in?
Yeah, I was nominated for Inspirational Album of the Year and Inspirational Recorded Song of the Year.
It is. It's your album is good stuff. I got to tell you that, and that's not because you're on the phone. I've told people that. Besides, when we've talked, I like your influences in the album. Tell everybody a little bit that maybe don't have the album yet, but should get it. A little bit how you went about the process of putting this album together.
Well, and a lot of my friends know I love a wide variety of music, but one of my favorite styles of music is from the Dean Martin and the Frank Sinatra era, just those old crooners. And the more I sang, the more I found out, you know, kind of what my voice was kind of fitting. And So I wanted it to incorporate that, you know, that jazz, that just that crooner style era of music. And I also love, I just love easy music, easy listening music. I also, you know, of course I have some up tunes on there, you know, My Turn Now and Someone Up There Loves Me, that are some faster songs. But I love singing just easy, pretty songs.
If you could have been in the Rat Pack,
right,
that would have fit you really well. Then you could have.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe bumped Sinatra
the black
off.
Suit, and the white black suit, skinny ties. I would have been right at home.
It was a whole cool era.
It was.
Whole time, of course, you talked about Dean Martin, Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, had some great people. It's amazing how many people of our era, our generation, love that kind of music.
Now modern day, now you've got the Michael Bublé's and the Harry Connick's that have kind of made it current to our demographic. And so it's nice to have those people out there on a larger scale, you know, so it allows guys like me that can do it, you know, of course, a much smaller scale. But that way it's accepted easier.
Well, yeah, sure. No, and here's the thing I want to ask you, and I do this. We call them 5 answers. It's 1 question, 5 answers. I'm going to ask you this.
Lord.
Here we go. You ready?
All right.
Starting from number 5, which would be your least, but still very important.
Okay.
Your 5 people that you would love to sing a duet with. Now, they can be living or dead.
Okay.
We'll dig them up for this if we have to, you know. Number 5.
Michael Bublé would be 1.
Okay. So you're putting him at 5. Okay. Sorry, Michael.
You said from top.
No.
That would be like...
No, 5 first. You're going from least to most.
Least to most. Okay. Well, I won't put Michael at the least.
That's good.
That's going to be kind of...
If I
say someone that is still... I know. No, let's see here. That's a tough one.
No, we'll just say that they're not that you're just 5 of them. We'll say that they're not in any order, particular order.
Okay.
That way,
of course, Glenn Payne.
That would be awesome.
Would have won. David Phelps would love to sing a duet with him. Let's see here.
You got Bublé in there, so we got 3. We need 2 more.
Bing Crosby.
You want to do a Christmas song with Bing?
Yeah. I'm right now. I'm working on putting out a Christmas album, and I'm very much thinking about doing something to his White Christmas. That's one of my favorite Christmas records of all time. So
And nothing says, yeah, nothing says Christmas like Bing Crosby anyway.
No, I start listening his album in like October.
Oh my.
So I'm a crazy Christmas freak. But I've got three.
You got four.
Tony Bennett.
Okay, so that's it. That's your four. Okay, so that leads me to the next question. So you're a Christmas person. You start in October listening to music. Yep. When do you start buying presents, though?
You know, I'm not as much as a... Now, my wife does the presents.
Uh-huh.
But I'm more of like the Christmas lights, the Christmas music, decorations. That's what I like to do. So I start music in October. She has to fight me off from putting the lights up at November 1st. I'm ready to get them up.
The tree goes up. You're ready, huh?
Yeah. Halloween's over. That means it's Christmas time. So.
If we Google satellite and map your house, are we gonna see like this glow?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the. It's kind of like the Northern Star of Earth.
No, but I do. I love Christmas. I love your love for music, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about this event that you put on for your grandma. I think that's really cool that you did in October.
The what now?
The event you did for your grandma, the surprise.
Oh, yeah. You know, it was her 95th birthday, and actually my uncle, I call him Unc, but my uncle called me up and said, hey, you know, let's, because my grandma is probably one of the biggest gospel music fans I've ever met. She was, I mean, literally, she would go every single night to hear somebody sing, if she could. So, and you know, she loves to hear me sing, but she is a big quartet fan.
Uh-huh.
And she's got some good friends, and they're my good friends, too. They're called the Crossman Quartet out of Morgantown, Kentucky.
Sure.
And my uncle called them and said, hey, guys, you know, are you guys home this weekend? We would, you know, we're doing this surprise concert for grandma, and you know, of course, they love it. The funny thing is, when I go do concerts, half the time people come up to me and say, hey, is your grandma here?
So you're famous through your grandma.
It's good to see you too. they said, yes, we want to come, count us in. And so I kind of opened up the show, and then and grandma, we had the part, her actual birthday party at the same, at the church that we put on the concert at, and she had no idea and then 6 o'clock hit, and we walked her into the sanctuary. There was 500 people there.
Wow.
And just, they all stood up and gave her a standing ovation, and you would have thought, you would have thought the president walked in. It was amazing. And you know, just a big thanks to all the fans that came out and helped us celebrate her birthday. It was something I'll never forget.
Now that leads me to my next question. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Go on.
No, I wasn't going on.
Okay, my next question: who were your influences that got you into Southern gospel music?
Well, I'll have to say my first gospel actual, you know, encounter. was the cathedral. I was 19 years old, and that was on their farewell tour.
Uh-huh.
And actually, George was sick that night, and my uncle had bought me tickets. So we went and saw him, and from that moment on, I knew exactly what I wanted to do.
That is cool.
And,
well, you started so at
just,
the top.
From then on, I just, well, you know, I was blessed. You know, I met Ernie that night. Mm-hmm. And you know, he took my cell phone number, and then over the course of a couple years, he would come back to Evansville, because we're both from Evansville, and he would do some solo concerts and then he came back with old friends.
Uh-huh.
So I got to see him, and then I finally had a demo CD put together, he took it, and then you know, just would call me once or twice a year just to check in, and then I finally got the job with the Melody Boys, and was there for 8 years. And you know, the thing is, I still thank God to this day that He started me where I started at, because honestly, and I won't say in this business, but you know, you can get, if you get around the wrong group of people, you can things change.
Right.
And Gerald was one of the nicest people to me. He was a great teacher, and I owe a lot to him for getting me to a place in that short of time, so that I could be ready when, you know, when things were sound. You know, Ernie called me and said, "Hey, you know, you ready to sing?" And I said, "You know, I think I was finally at a point to where I could, you know, I could do it."
So when that call came from Ernie, how long did it take you to say yes?
Oh, I don't even think he even had the question out yet.
You were probably like, "Yes, whatever it is, I'll do it."
Yeah.
And you didn't realize absolutely. He was probably calling to see if you'd wash the bus or something. You got to be careful with those things.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't have mattered though. It wouldn't have mattered. You know, I wanted to pay my dues just like everybody else.
No, and you have, and you've done a great job. I got to ask you this, because as I read about this, you got the key to the city of Paintsville, Kentucky. Congratulations, yeah. By the way, on that.
Oh, well, you know, I've always heard about these artists getting the keys to the cities, and I'm like, that would be so stinking cool. And the mayor came to the concert. I had no idea that they had done anything like this. And after intermission, they had the mayor on stage, and he brought me up there. And I mean, this key is like, you know, it's like 6 inches long. It's a couple inches thick. I mean, it's a real deal.
So now with your key to the city, did you get any privileges? I mean, like if you speed through Paintsville, are you going to be, you know, they're just going to say, "Oh, that's Ryan," and you get to.
Well, I'm hoping. Okay. You know, you would think it would come with some kind of advantages. So.
Okay, so that leads me to my next question. Three okay. cities you would love to get a key from, that you love, that you want right. to go there. We'll put a plug in for you and see if the mayor's listening.
Oh, well, New York, for one.
Okay.
That's where my wife and I had our honeymoon, and we're biting at the bit to get back there. New York, Chicago.
Love Chicago.
Yeah, all Vegas, why not?
Okay. Well, those are three good cities, and all cities that, well, except Chicago and New York, you're not going to speed through those ever. You know, there is no such thing as
going
fast.
Anywhere faster than there.
No, you're not. Chicago, you're never going to be able to speed through Chicago. It just is not.
No.
It's not a thing that's going to happen. So,
nope.
But no, that. Tell me a little bit about you're getting ready to go out on tour. You're going to be out on the West Coast doing a West Coast tour with Jeff and Sherry Easter. How did that come about?
Well, you know, my manager Landon Bean, of course, is in the industry pretty much with everyone in gospel music, and he's also started a concert promotion company.
Uh-huh.
So he works with Signature Sound, he works with the Hoppers, Legacy 5, and when he decided to get involved with me, he said, you know, he's trying to think of, you know, who would I fit with? And of course, you know, I've known Jeff and Sherry for, you know, 7-8 years now, just from being out on the Gator tour with them every night, and just great people. And I told him, I said, you know, find me people that I know and that I would get along with, because I think that'll help the event, you know.
Sure.
And so he said, he just called Jeff and said, "Hey, you know, you want to, I'm thinking about doing a West Coast tour." They don't tour out there very much unless it's with Gaither, so they're kind of breaking ground out there as well. And so far I think ticket sales are doing really well, and I can't wait to get out there. I've got so many people that I can't wait to see, just friends and fans that have prayed for me and supported me this journey of mine. So
you're getting to California on this tour? Are you going to be in California?
Yeah.
Got to
We're doing three markets. Two of them are Highland and Stockton. Stockton.
Stockton. Yeah.
Highland. Stockton. Yeah, there you go. The third one, off the top of my head, I can't remember.
You gonna go? You gonna hit an In-N-Out burger while you're there?
Oh, absolutely.
You got to do that. That's
probably more than once. But,
okay.
Yeah, we're in Arizona for 2 dates, and then we end up in Portland. So
that's cool. You're, of course, you're a dad. I want to ask you this. Yeah. As a dad and as somebody who travels a lot, give advice to other dads who are out there that, you know, maybe, you know, with their career or their job, they're saying, listen, yeah, I don't have the time to be home. You definitely, you know, your time home is, you know,
precious.
Yeah, exactly. What do you do to optimize your time home? What is it you do with your two girls?
Well, you know, it's hard because when you're gone, you know, your wife is stuck with the disciplining and, you know, so when you get home, that's the last thing I want to do is get on to my girls about anything. But I would say just if it's possible to do as much as you can with them, even if it's drawing a picture with them. You know, that to me, that kind of stuff, it brightens their whole day. And I would just say just give them as much time as you can. That's what I try to do, and I try to, you know, it's little things for me, just like being able to, you know, take them to school and pick them up. You know, they appreciate, you know, when you walk into school and they see you, you know,
sure,
they see you there. So for me, it's just a time thing, and I try to make as much time for my kids as possible.
So are they into the dolls, or what is their...
Oh, Lord. yeah, they're. I mean, we've got in their bedroom. They have a closet that has. I mean, it's you can barely shut the door. There's so many. Like, well, my oldest daughter, she's into the Barbies, uh-huh, princesses, and my youngest daughter is all she wants is babies.
Okay.
So we've got babies and dolls and dresses and.
So you're very well versed then in all of the princesses, Snow White, Cinderella.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, you got that down.
You're
wired there. You can tell them anything they want to know about that kind of stuff. But that,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
It really, in what we do, and of course with our faith as Christians and what we do for a living where we're on the road, it is that family time that you have, you know, that God really wants us to spend. You know, people think, well, we're working all the time or we're on the road all the time.
Yeah.
But that time with your family is so precious. And you know, you are the example for those two girls. You know, what they're going to look for in a husband is what you are to them. Wow, that was really heavy. Where did that come from in the middle of this interview?
Well, you know, and speaking of that, you know, I was singing off the top of my head. I can't remember now. But a guy, you know, I always do this story about my daughters right before I sing one of the songs on my album called Daddy's Little Girl. And I always do this story about my girls, and it's kind of like a joke, you know, with boys and at their school and holding hands and stuff like that. And, you know, the guy was like, I understand where you're coming from. He had daughters himself, and he said, you know, the thing that helped me out when they started dating and started, you know, kind of falling in love, he said, what I prayed is that they wouldn't find someone, but I prayed that they, you know, found someone that, you know, was a good man and a Christian, and you know, I want the guy to be like me, because I know how I treat my wife, and I know how I treat my girls, so I'm just praying, you know, Lord, send them someone that's gonna, you know, to treat them the way that women are supposed to be treated, and give them, you know, their time and their love. So
that, and always remind them that you can still take them down. You know, when you meet these guys, remind them that you're still tougher than they are.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That you might carry a concealed weapon or something. You know?
Yeah, yeah. I'll just leave it right there at the front door.
Exactly. Just kind of as a hint. You know, you touch my daughter, and this is what's going to happen to you.
Absolutely.
I have a key to the city of Paintsville. I could bury your body right there.
Yeah, right in the city square. They don't care. I can do anything.
I can do anything I want. Hey, give them the website.
Yeah, it's just RyanSeaton.com.
This is Ryan's... Sorry, give it again.
RyanSeaton.com.
That's so great. Hey, buddy, it has been fun getting a chance to hang out with you. Thanks for being with our listeners. And, And when Ryan is near you, go check him out, okay?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate your time, Rob.